آی سلطان و آخ بر بیت و نورشی جانیه.
That's the very haunting music of modern-day Assyrians. Well, over the past week or so, we've been getting this distressing news from Iraq that Islamic State militants have been looting and bulldozing some of the most precious and ancient archaeological sites in the world. The militants have targeted the ancient Assyrian cities of Nimrud and Hatra, and most recently a place called Dur Sharrukin, which I think means Fortress of Sargon. So these sites are all in the vicinity of the city of Mosul, which is under ISIS control at the moment. And the region we're talking about is up the top of Iraq, up the northern tip, which is just south from Turkey. So if you go down the eastern end of Turkey and then sort of turn downwards, that's where you are in Iraq. Dr. Andrew Jamieson is an archaeologist from Melbourne Uni, and he's an expert on the Assyrians. He's conducted several archaeological investigations in Egypt and Syria and Lebanon, so he knows the geography of the Assyrians very well, and he's sitting right in front of me. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
This is a sad topic to be talking about. So we're in the region of the Tigris River, which I've just noticed runs all through the middle of Mosul.
That's right. Mosul is situated on the west bank of the Tigris, and Nimrud, which we've been hearing about in terms of these destruction and looting, is on the east bank of the Euphrates. It's approximately, I think, 30 kilometres south of Mosul.
Okay, so you've got the Tigris and the Euphrates. These two rivers converge a bit further down, don't they?
Well, that's right. And, of course, the area that we're really referring to here is Mesopotamia, the land between the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates, these great rivers.
So we toss off this phrase, the cradle of civilization. That's what we're always told, between these two. I mean, it's always a shock to me to realise they're real places, the Tigris and the Euphrates, but there they are, flowing still today down into the Gulf of Persia. Is that a fair description?
Well, that's right. This area is the cradle of civilization. If we think of the Sumerians, the Akkadians, the Babylonians and the Assyrians, these are great ancient civilizations of the Near East. And the Upper Tigris in northern Iraq is the homeland of the Assyrian Empire. And in fact, it's an inverted triangle that's formed by the Tigris and a tributary known as the Greater Zab River.
Okay, so these sites that have been destroyed date from when?
Well, Nimrud actually dates right back to about 5,000 BC. But the time of the Assyrians, of course, is in the second millennium, and the time of the Neo-Assyrian Empire, the time that we most associate with this Assyrian Empire, is from around 1,000 BC to about 600 BC.
Right. So these sites are between 5,000 and 7,000 years old.
Incredibly ancient.
Is that what the sum... Okay, so what's happened? What's happening there? Do you know?
Well, it's frustrating because a lot of the reports haven't been verified, but the news that's coming out is incredibly disturbing, particularly about the bulldozing of the Neo-Assyrian capital, Nimrud. We're hearing that, and we're seeing videos and pictures of the destruction of some of those monuments, the stone Lamassu.
What's a Lamassu?
The Lamassu. These are the wonderful guardian figures that mark the entrances into the palace of Ashurnasirpal at Nimrud. And there were over half a dozen sets of these hybrid winged bulls and lions with a human head. The head of a man on these Lamassu represented wisdom. The body of a bull or a lion represented strength, authority and royalty. And the wings of an eagle personified or symbolised the ability to predict the future and to protect and ward off evil.
So these are all evidence of a religion, are they?
The Lamassu, these winged figures that marked the entrances into the palace, were more about impressing the visitors. These were more than just palaces. They were the centre of government. They were places where dignitaries and diplomats would have gathered. They were the scenes of state ceremonies. So these imposing portals really were designed to impress and really to intimidate the visitors to the Assyrian court.
That's a fantastic piece of alliteration. Imposing portals is very, very nice. You have a marvellous job. I mean, this is a terrible story, but to be able to talk about all these beings with these fantastic names, what's your own work involved?
Well, Michael, as you know, I have the best of both worlds. I spend half my time up at the university in the Classics and Archaeology program.
This is the University of Melbourne, where you and I were until 4 years ago colleagues.
Exactly. So I spend half my time in the academic department, lecturing and supervising and undertaking research. And the other half of my time is over at the University of Melbourne's Ian Potter Museum of Art, where I curate the antiquities collection.
Yeah. And but you've also been on digs, have you?
Well, for the just thinking about this morning, for the past 29 years, I've been going back and forth to the Middle East every year. In fact, I was incredibly lucky. In my first year as an undergraduate student at the University of Melbourne, I was invited to go on an archaeological dig to Egypt, out to the Western or the Libyan desert. And ever since then, every year, I've gone back and forth to the Middle East. I was very, very fortunate for 10 years to be part of a Melbourne University excavation on the Euphrates River at a site called Tel Akma, ancient Tilbarsip. It was one of a number of sites that were to be flooded by the construction of a hydroelectric dam approximately 20 kilometres from the modern Turkish frontier. And of course, this area, as we know from the reports that are coming out, is one of the areas that is controlled by ISIS or ISIL. And we're hearing that there's been incredible looting of archaeological sites in this area and that many of the artifacts are finding their way over the border and they're making their way onto the black market.
Well, that's the other issue, isn't it? So they're both smashing sites, these big structures we hear, they're driving bulldozers through, but then they're looting, I guess, museums, are they, to get hold of things that can then be sold for immense sums of money?
Looting and vandalising museums, repositories, archaeological sites, places of historical, cultural significance. In this part of the world, there are so many ancient places in Iraq and Syria, in the Euphrates and the Tigris valleys. I mean, Iraq has something like 18,000 registered archaeological sites. And in the area of Nimrud that we've been hearing about recently, this area of Nimrud, Nineveh, Ashur, the heartland of the Assyrian Empire, there's about 1,200 archaeological sites just in this locality. But in Syria, for example, on the Euphrates, many of the active fieldwork projects have on-site storage magazines that contain the finds from decades of research that haven't yet made their way to the national museums. And these places are incredibly vulnerable. And we're hearing reports that not only the sites, but the storage repositories have been looted and that artifacts have been stolen.
Now, when you say they're magazines, that suggests some kind of secure repository. Are they protected in some way or protectable?
Protection, not highly protected.
Not from men with guns and bulldozers.
Exactly. And in many ways, they might be just mud brick buildings that research projects have been using to store the artifacts from there.
How do the Iraqis themselves view these sites? I mean, we've heard that there are these people today called Assyrians who date themselves back to this culture. Do modern people in Iraq see this as part of their heritage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, the Assyrians, and you played that wonderful music at the beginning, and we know that there are Assyrian communities in places like Hasaka on the Euphrates, in places like Mosul in northern Iraq, that sort of see a direct ancestry to the ancient Assyrians.
And they're Christians now.
That's right. They are Christians. But generally, in the Near East, in Syria and Iraq, I think most people are aware of this important cultural heritage and are devastated by the destruction, the looting, the vandalism that we're seeing coming out of these places at the moment.
I've been trying to think of precedents for this. And in fact, there are all too many, aren't there? You think of Oliver Cromwell in his Puritan attacks on the churches. I mean, I can remember visiting churches in England that hadn't been trashed, but in which, you know, faces and things had been knocked off the stonework, and the vicar would tell you that Oliver Cromwell's men did that, and the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, just eradicating the history prior to their own regime.
Exactly. What we're seeing is cultural cleansing. But in the Middle East, we've seen the looting and destruction of museums like Beirut, Baghdad, Kabul and Cairo. All of these places have been extremely vulnerable during this instability.
So both for reasons of cultural cleansing, as you say, but also just because people can pinch stuff and sell it, presumably.
That's right. I think I've read recently that the IS, or the Islamic State, is generating a considerable revenue.
Yeah, millions and millions.
Something like $45 million from the sale of looted antiquities from Syria and Iraq. We know that the borders with Turkey and Lebanon are quite porous, and that many of these things are finding them, the artefacts are finding their way onto the black market.
Yeah. Now, as an archaeologist, you're in two games, really. On the one hand, there's a sort of pure sort of cultural interest. On the other hand, you are on a sort of treasure hunt. I guess you're always hoping that you'll find something exceptionally sort of gorgeous and valuable. This trade in antiquities, is that part of an ongoing issue for archaeologists like you? Is that something you need to address?
Look, it is an ongoing issue, but can I preface this by talking about the importance of archaeological context? Once an object is removed from the ground, it can't go back. And so what we're seeing with this destruction is the loss of all of this archaeological information. The archaeological process carefully records and documents and records the location, the level of the in-situ objects. And that's why this is so devastating, because all of that archaeological context is being lost in this vandalism. Yeah. But, Michael, when we were working in Syria, on the Euphrates at Tal Akmar, we were actually excavating a Neo-Assyrian colony. It was established by Shalmaneser III, one of the great kings of the Neo-Assyrian period.
Your eyes light up when you say Shalmaneser III. I feel excited, even though I don't know who he is.
One of the great kings of the Neo-Assyrian period. And, of course, Shalmaneser, like his predecessors, led annual campaigns, particularly to the west towards the Mediterranean, to expand the Assyrian Empire, and in the process exacting tribute and booty from the conquered territories. All of this was brought back to the Assyrian heartland, the Assyrian capitals, and there the Assyrians constructed magnificent palaces filled with carved ivories and other precious goods. But at Tal Akmar in North Syria, where we were working for 10 seasons, we had a very distinctive Neo-Assyrian colony here on the Euphrates River. And it was quite clearly established by the Neo-Assyrians, one, because of its strategic location in this area, two, because of its proximity to this other great capital city, Carchemish. The evidence that we found, elite houses, inscribed cuneiform tablets, carved Phoenician ivories, cylinder seals, all reflecting the very distinctive hallmarks of the Assyrian civilization, of the Assyrian culture.
So this is the culture that is, well, raised the ire of these militants and which is so under threat. Andrew, thank you for coming in and telling us about this. I mean, I'm sure you've aroused our interest, our passion for the Assyrians. They've come alive for us all.
Michael, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Dr. Andrew Jamieson is an archaeologist. He's from the School of, what's it called these days, Historical and Philosophical Investigation, is that right?
The School of Historical and Philosophical Studies.
Studies at the University of Melbourne, of which I'm a fellow, I should know its name. He's an expert on ancient Assyria.